Hi, this is Erin from Fit Bottomed Girls.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Jen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Kristen.
Hi, this is Fit Bottomed Girl Margo.
You are listening to the podcast that will not only help you to keep a lid on the junk in the trunk, but will also help inspire you to live a happy, healthier life full of confidence.
Each episode, we talk about current events and our favorite articles from the sites. Plus, we chat with experts in food, health, nutrition, meditation, fitness, and more.
If you've been looking for that one podcast that will make you laugh as you learn more about yourself, well, then welcome to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast, and today's show is pretty exciting. We're real thrilled to be able to introduce this person on the show today. His name is Tony Horton. He's a big deal in the P90X world. So, Jen, you on the line today, I should say, by the way, this is Margo, and on the line we have Jen.
Hey.
And we have Kristen.
Hi.
So, Jen, you actually met Tony before in person, right?
Yeah. I did. I was at a Jamba Juice event in LA with my best friend Tish, who used to write a lot for us. Now she's just off being an actor and raising her baby. But her and I went to this event, and it was super cool. He was there, and he was, as he always is in like all the P90X videos, he was hilarious and very gracious and took a picture. And he also was showing off some of like the sweet moves that he does, like that he makes up that are new, these like fusion moves, which he talks about in this interview. But he really is like a hilarious and real person. He debuted the super burpee. It was crazy. It was like a crazy gymnastics, breakdancing burpee feat.
We have to put that on the show page or something for this episode, because I need to know what that is. Like, if you have that YouTube link or something.
Yeah, I'll make sure it's there. So everyone can see. It's a very short clip that's like taken from my phone. So it's all like wobbly and, you know, looks like it's reality TV, because it was reality TV. It happened.
It did.
It happened in real life. Yeah.
And, I'm going to go ahead and follow that up with saying that maybe after people see that, maybe they're going to want to shoot a little video of themselves trying it and share it with us on social.
Absolutely.
I think that would be super fun. And I think that Tony, I mean, after talking with him, there is no doubt in my mind that he will get the world's biggest kick out of it. So maybe share that. Make sure to tag us, tag him. I think that that would be like badass.
Yes. I love that idea. It could be hashtag super burpee.
Super burpee hashtag. Oh, I love that.
Yay.
Oh my God, you guys, that's incredible. So I actually did try the P90X when it first came out, because that's when I first became an instructor. So I tried to steal a bunch of the moves, you know, or not steal, but you know,
borrow.
Imitation of the moves.
Yeah.
Borrow. Yeah. In homage to Tony Horton, I borrowed a bunch of those moves. And I was telling you guys off the air, at the gym where I teach at the Y, they have an open room for cardio. And I see couples together in there all the time using P90X. They got their little, you know, tablets or their iPhones, and they're just paying attention. So he's super popular, especially, I think, with couples. So he introduced the system with infomercials, and we actually brought it up with him in the interview that he was in the original Thighmaster commercials. And I think he was a little embarrassed, but I think it's hilarious because I love those commercials. I thought they were amazing with Suzanne Summers and all that stuff. So my question to you guys, have you ever bought anything from an infomercial, and what was the craziest one you bought?
I never have.
If you did.
I never have. Well, okay. So I've watched, like, wait a minute. I haven't personally, but I have watched a number of infomercials. Like, I used to watch, God, a Juice Master. My dad and I used to watch that before school, actually. I don't know why. Like, every morning we would watch, like, the Juice Master. It was hilarious. And then also in my high school days, I was obsessed with the Tybo infomercial. Like,
yeah,
it was so amazing. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I had the money to like order that. I think my mom would kill me if I did it. But my high school boyfriend at the time, his mom bought them, and she did it for like a while. And then like, I think a lot of hype people who buy infomercial things, you know, like you use it for a little bit and then it just starts collecting dust. Well, once it started collecting dust, I was like, hey, maybe I could take that advance tape off your hands. And she was like, oh yeah, sure, totally. And so I think maybe like I might have had it for years, like way after the relationship ended. And I could do, I mean, there's still portions of that advanced type of routine that I could do right now for you. I did it so many times. I remember it. Double time. Whoa.
Is that Billy Blanks?
Yeah, Billy,
Billy
Blanks.
Banks or Billy Blanks?
Billy Blanks. I forget his name. Yeah.
Billy Blanks, yeah. I remember Brooke Shields was in the commercials for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like a huge Paula Abdul fan and have been ever since I was a kid. And Paula Abdul went to a lot of his early classes. So once I found out there was like a Paula Abdul, like Billy Blanks connection, I was like,
oh my God.
Obviously the universe has brought Billy Blanks workout into my life because of Paula Abdul.
Clearly.
What about you, Kristen? You ever order anything or do you remember any infomercials that stuck in your head?
You know, I'm trying to remember if I've ever actually ordered something. I know that when I was younger, my parents ordered, I have no idea what it was, but they ordered something and it ended up, you order this and the price is great and the shipping and you get a second one for free, just pay shipping. But the shipping was $40 freaking. And
oh
they didn't
God.
Know until, you know, it got billed and all of a sudden we're like, wait, we were not planning to pay $40 in shipping for a $30 product or whatever it was. So I think that always made me nervous about actually like pulling the trigger and placing an order. But I will say, like, it takes every ounce of willpower I have in my arsenal to not buy like every kitchen thing that they show that, you know, that it would just make my life so easy and I would be the best chef and I would eat nothing but beautifully and perfectly prepared fruits and veggies and really healthy foods. And they would be amazing because I would have like the right knives and these great pots and pans. That's clearly all I need according to these infomercials. And I would be like a world-class chef. And it's really hard for me to not just like go buy all of those all the time. But my spiralizer actually, when I bought it like, you know, just on Amazon and it came in a as seen on TV box. So it's definitely like, I love my veggie spiralizer and it was clearly, you know, started life as an infomercial product. So I guess that would be my one thing that I sort of bought from an infomercial, but didn't know I bought it from an infomercial.
Okay. So a long, long time ago, there was this product called NADS. It's NADS.
Yes.
I remember that.
This is going to get real.
I bought it. Okay. This is going to get very real. So it was a hair removal product. Yeah. It was developed by these women in Australia and they insisted you put this goop on your arms and you press really hard and the hair goes away and you never have a problem. And I'm very, very fair skinned and I had dark hair on my arms and I was always really self-conscious about that for some reason. And I used to also bleach my upper lip. I had like a little hair. It was gross. Anyway, so I was like, I got to try this stuff. So I threw it on. I didn't even really pay attention to the instructions, but I all over my arms and my legs and it hurt so much. Oh. Like you have to pull against it. You have to push against your arm and pull against it at the same time to get it off. And it got all the hair off. And I was like, oh, this is great. Then the next day I get out of bed and I look at me and I am covered in bruises.
Oh.
Up and down my arms, up and down my legs.
Oh,
it
no.
was, oh my. And it was middle of summer. So, you know, you can't, oh, it was, I've never forgotten that lesson. Like I try to put ice packs all over me,
oh my God.
And, you know, and bruisings can last for a few days.
Yeah.
Like they get really yellow and stuff like that. So yeah, that was my big purchase of that. So after that, I got like really like, okay.
And is that not the worst possible name for a product ever? Like it's kind of weird that it actually was that successful. Like really?
And they had those Australian accents. It was like, nah. Just was like, I don't know. I was a sucker for it. So that was my big product that I bought.
I wanted to try it.
Yeah.
Well, they filmed them well.
They did.
Yeah.
And at least you didn't try it on like a more sensitive area. To
yeah. Start. Yeah. Oh, no.
Because I have a friend who did that and
she
didn't get much farther with it. Let's just say that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, so on that note,
I'm sure Tony Horton's gonna love this intro. Like, thank you.
He has a great sense of humor.
Guys.
He and his wife will laugh the hardest over this. I trust me. So here's our interview today, guys. It's Tony Horton. So take it away, interview with Tony Horton. Yay. All right, everybody. So today's celebrity interview is with Tony Horton. And if you don't know who Tony Horton is, I must say to you, you either don't have Facebook, because everybody knows on Facebook follows Tony Horton or follows his program, or you don't have television and you don't watch cable because those P90X commercials are on all the time. So Tony is the creator of that best-selling workout, P90X, P90X2, P90X3, the 10-minute trainer, and most recently, the 22-minute military-inspired workout, 22-minute hardcore. And Tony is also a world-class motivational speaker. He's the author of top-selling books, Bring It, Crush It, and The Big Picture, 11 Laws That Will Change Your Life. And he's appeared on countless television programs as a fitness and lifestyle expert to promote healthy living through exercise and proper nutrition. And we're thrilled to talk to him today. So, Tony, welcome to the show. Say hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone. It's me. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being on today. And so joining me is Jen.
Hey, hey.
And Kristen.
Hello.
So we're all over the country, if you guys can't tell at home. So, Tony, this is Margo. My first question for you. You grew up in a military family. I grew up in an IBM family, so I think we kind of have a lot in common, moving around and stuff. You described yourself as a 98-pound weakling with a speech impediment when you were a kid. When did you start changing your perception of yourself? Do you think fitness helped you gain confidence?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, that pretty much describes me. I think to a T. I had a weird little speech thing where it wasn't stuttering, more like stammering, I think, was my expertise. Yeah, I was just a skinny kid. I wasn't athletic. My dad was. I just wasn't, for whatever reason. My dad was on the road, you know, after he was out of the military. So I didn't really see much of my dad. It was my mom and my two sisters. I had a lot of really awesome feminine energy, but I didn't really have the that mentor, and whatever coaches I had, you know, when I was on any kind of a team, they cared more about the win-loss column than they did about me. So I usually sat in the bench, you know, but when it all got going, I think it was when I moved out to California, you know, I'm on, in Rhode Island and in Connecticut where I grew up, the only gyms that you would find would be, you know, in the local high school or at college or something. And I tried to avoid that like the plague. So here I was trying to become a better athlete, but I didn't really know how to train myself. So I was, you know, kind of a weak tennis player, and I golfed and I skied and you know, you pick up basketball, that kind of thing. But I just didn't have the endurance and the stamina and the strength and the skill set to be able to be as good as I wanted to, because I just didn't like going to the gym. But out here in California, it's so different. You know, I mean, it was a gym on every corner. I just wasn't used to seeing that. And that was really sort of the place to meet people. You go to bars, which I did as well, but I just liked going to the gym, you know, and I just liked that atmosphere and meeting those kinds of people. And, you know, for me in those days, I was a single man. So it was all about aesthetics. You know, it was all about ego and aesthetics and creating change, you know, purely because you wanted bigger arms and six pack abs and that kind of silliness, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people get into it for the wrong reasons. And I think at that age, you know, for that demographic, that's fine. But as you get older, I mean, at my age now, at 58, my reasons why are very different. So that was the big change for me, you know. And then, of course, I was going to acting classes and improv classes and attempting to do stand-up comedy, you know, because I wanted to be an actor and all that. And so I had two sort of lifestyles happening at the same time, sort of this fitness thing where, I started my fitness business. Uh-oh, one of my dogs is going crazy.
We love dogs, by the way. They're totally okay.
But that was my early days back in the early 1980s.
Wow. That's quite the evolution, I would say, of self from weakling to I actually met you at a Jamba Juice event in LA. It was a number of years ago. And I'd done some of your P90X workouts too. And I mean, you are hilarious. Like, I can definitely see how you went into stand-up comedy and went down that path. Can you talk a little bit about just using humor and how you incorporate that part of your personality into training other people and doing your workouts, and maybe if you find that it, like, disarms a lot of people and motivates them? I don't know.
I think it's critical, at least for me as a trainer, to try to be able to transcend, disseminate my techniques and ideas and philosophies and workout programs so that more and more people want to come back the next day and the day after that and the day after that and the month after that. You know, I mean, I think there's far too many people in our industry that take this stuff too seriously, and they treat it like rocket science, and they take on this sort of badass personality, and they think that's going to resonate with everybody. But, you know, I mean, humor transcends across all generations, all different types of people. And, you know, I mean, let's face it, exercise isn't necessarily fun for the vast majority of people. who know that they need to do it. I mean, unless you're an athlete, you know, or you're getting paid, or you're a collegiate athlete or a high school athlete. I mean, it's kind of in your DNA. Maybe you just really love it and enjoy it, but the vast majority of us don't. And so you've got to find techniques that get people, you know, moving and grooving and being consistent over the course of long periods of time. And humor is what I do. I mean, that's what I use. I mean, I'm a big fan of modifications in all my programs. A lot of trainers had never done that before. You know, I was one of the first, apparently, is what I'm told anyway.
Yeah.
First person to say, hey, here's kind of a way to do it part way, or, you know, with limited range of motion and less weights and less pressure of having to feel like you got to be perfect. Yeah. And I think the other area that I'm pretty good in is coming up with movements that are a little bit unique and different. And, you know, I don't like to call something what everybody else calls it. I'll make up a name like the pterodactyl or the water bug or something. I just want to make it less oppressive.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why we've sold a little over $1 billion worth of my stuff. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That actually leads really well into, sorry, Kristen.
No, go for it.
It just ties perfectly into, another question, because when I mentioned the Jamba Juice event, you were, I don't know if you were debuting it, but it was certainly the first time I'd ever seen it. And I got it on video. It's on our YouTube page, the Super Burpee, which is this crazy thing that you did that was amazing to see in real life. And I'm glad I got it on video because I could watch it over again. So yeah, where do you come up with this stuff? You just mess around and you're at the gym, at your house, just trying new things?
Well, you know, I guess I kind of like the Dr. Jekyll my stuff, you know, a little bit. I see what's out there, and I see that, you know, I mean, it's hard to reinvent the push-up or the squat or the lunge or the crunch, you know, but there are movements that have a lot in common, and I like to try to sort of combine them. I like combining two different things or three different things, and now it's become sort of the trend. I mean, you can see it in more and more workout programs. I'm not the only one now, but I just look at the way athletes train. You know, I mean, I try to see what football, basketball, baseball, hockey, skiers, snowboarders, rock climbers are doing, gymnasts are doing, especially gymnastics. You know, there's, you know, I don't know if anybody watched the Rio games this year, but yeah, to watch those.
Hello.
Jeez, it's just, you know, and so there are certain things that they had to do to kind of get there. And I break it down into sort of layman's terms and say, well, what version of that can the average person do? And then give them the steps to do it. And so, it comes down to muscle recruitment. It comes down to functional exercise, proprioceptive fitness, you know, balance, speed, range of motion, the things that young people can do. And we're still stuck in this spot, this, it's crazy, you know, after all these years, here it is 2016, and we're still in this build and burn model, you know, where guys want to get big and girls think cardio is going to answer all their problems. And reality has taught us that it really is a combination of doing as many different things that really force you to be outside of your comfort zone without getting hurt, right? So that's really sort of the magic is. So exercises that require coordination and kind of a longer learning curve, things that require balance. That's why there's yoga in every one of my programs. And, you know, people are like, God, you put yoga and weightlifting in the same program? Yeah, because you're going to work on your weaknesses as much or more so than your strengths. And that's how your body changes more rapidly. And that's how you prevent boredom, injuries, and plateaus. Hello. Thank you. Good night. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it like truly, I mean, at the time, like revolutionary. Like now it's like, you know, we all incorporate some sort of flexibility or like, you know, mobility training. But I mean, what you did is really revolutionary at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Elon Musk of fitness.
Yeah. I knew people that I was in like a, I wasn't just doing a Fitbond Girls full time. I had a different like outside full time job and like a Cube Farm, and there were people that would never do like Denise Austin, you know, DVD or something, and would never join a gym or lift weights, that were doing your program and getting great results. And it was really cool. You tapped into a whole new population. Okay, sorry, I'm done giving questions. Kristen's turn.
Good
awesome. Question. Totally good question. Now, Tony, you were just talking about the importance of mixing it up, but I'm wondering, is there any one particular exercise that you see people doing maybe incorrectly or that you think is just like overdone and overrated? And if so, what would you recommend instead?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would say all of the above. I mean, I think there's quite often also people doing almost any and every exercise the wrong way. And that's just sort of the nature of maybe not having people paying close enough attention. You know, I mean, like you could show 10 people the same move and you'll see 10 different versions of it. You'll think, oh, their hands are in a different place, their feet are in a different place. You know, like say, for example, I've had 10 people to do a perfect push-up. Only one or two, maybe, if I'm lucky, would actually have their hands in the right place, have their core and glutes engaged. You know, people who are don't look like they're, you know, halfway into down dog or something, or they look like a human hammock. You know, there's a, or whatever it is. You know, so I think one of the things that I like to think that I'm pretty good at is cueing, and as a trainer, it's probably the most important thing you need to do. Now I add humor to the cueing, so you know I'm doing sort of a twofer. And then, of course, I'm just displaying modifications as well. But it's just, you know, that's what a good trainer is supposed to be able to do. And, you know, I think, but to answer your question, I think almost any exercise is a good exercise. I wouldn't, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, a lot of people are wasting their time. I think a lot of people are, the one mistake that they are making, though, is they're limited in their repertoire. You know, they're just doing, it's like chest day and then chest day and then more chest day. You know, like, come on, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, you got a big old. Your legs look like toothpicks and you can't run from home plate to first base without blowing out both hamstrings. You might want to look at, you know, having more variety and working on your athleticism and working on your flexibility and your core and functional strength. And that's where I think people fall short, is they fall into a rut and they, you know, and they're doing something. I mean, they're really putting their time and energy, you know, maybe 4 days a week into something they really love, but they can't figure out why there's no change. It's because that's all they're doing. They're just going to yoga 3 days a week, or they're just doing Pilates 3 days a week, or they're going to bar class 3 days a week, or they're doing chest on Mondays and arms on Wednesdays and more and back on Fridays. And they can't figure out why, you know, they can't, you know, get to the place they want to go. So it's not like there are any particular moves that are a waste of time. It's just that a lot of us aren't willing to try new forms of fitness. I mean, that's why I have a slack line and I have a rope and a pegboard and parallel bars and med balls and stability balls and Bosu balls and wacky, you know, tubes filled with water, and just about anything I can think of just to kind of, you know, keep me interested and keep helping me push the envelope. And that's what I do with my workout programs as well, as much as I can. Anyway, for people who are trying to work out in front of their TV set.
Right. So, I'm sorry, it's Margo again, but I wanted to ask you, I wanted to go right back into the 80s again. When you were starting out as a trainer, you would train people out of your garage for $20 an hour. Is that true?
No, not out of my garage, out of a friend's garage, because I didn't have a garage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so, some of your clients, were they Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty, Billy Idol, Usher? Like, did you train these people?
No, I trained Usher when I started training Usher and Hugh McGregor, people like that, once I had a real, you know, a real sophisticated gym facility at my house in Santa Monica. But prior to that, I was traveling to their homes. So I would get up at the crack of dawn. My first client was an executive over at 20th Century Fox, and I would train her at 5 a.m. And then I would drive to the next one at, you know, at 6:30, and the next one at 9:30. And, you know, it was kind of all day long, from Malibu to Culver City to Hollywood to Beverly Hills and back to the West Side. I mean, it was, you know, my average Monday, Wednesday, Friday was Billy Idol, Tom Petty, Stephen Stills, Annie Lennox, and sometimes Bruce Springsteen. That was sort of my keeping rock and roll alive there.
Oh, my Holy God. Crap. That sounds amazing.
That was fun. I mean, I had more. I don't know who was having more fun, you know, whether them, you know, us just hanging out and working out or just listening to the stories. You know, I could write a book on Shirley MacLaine stories or Stephen Stills from Crosby, Stills, Nash or Billy Idol. I was, you know, I trained Billy Monday through Friday for almost 10 or 12 years, and he did an event for Beachbody a couple of weeks ago. And I got to introduce him, you know, in front of 16,000 people. And then he pulled me up on stage and we sang a little Rebel Yell together. So that was just, you know, like,
oh my God,
whose life is this? You know, it was just a blast back in those days.
Wow. Yeah. Could you please write that book?
Yeah, please.
I'd have to wait for everybody to die.
You're talking about musicians. It's not going to be that long.
There, you just got to keep yourself. But they're fun to tell, you know, in front of a small group of friends where they go, what? Tell the Dolly Parton story again, you know, never mind. Anyway.
Are there any stories you can tell?
You know, I mean, like, for example, I don't think Billy would mind, but, you know, there was one time where, you know, if he had a gate code, and so, you know, I'd hit the gate and he'd open it up. But if he said, if it doesn't open, then just come in, because I knew what it was. And then I'd go to the gym, and if he wasn't stretching, I'd have to come to the house and wake him up, you know, or get him going. And then one day he just sort of played a little trick on me, and there was a young lady who answered the door naked. You know, that was one.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so I'm sitting there chatting with a naked lady in the kitchen while we're waiting for Billy to get dressed. you know, but, you know, it's just the nature.
That's not awkward at all. That's totally normal.
Or, you know, Stephen Stills, you know, he would show up at the front door, you know, in his boxer shorts with a lamb shank like Fred Flintstone. You know what I mean? And, I go, no, Stephen, you can't eat that before the workout. And he goes, I need sustenance, you know, so, but you know, there are dozens and dozens of stories like that. Those were fun times, but they were hard. You know, you could only make so much money driving around town.
I can imagine. And it's just got to be draining because I've done some personal training and just that one-on-one can be really draining. You know, even if they're great people, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's how the beginning should be. I mean, if you're a trainer in this industry and you really sort of want to, you know, make your way to who knows how far you want to go, but you have to, you know, you got to get up at the crack of dawn and work mm-hmm. a full night and you're living on power bars or whatever and your car breaks down to 405. And it's just sort of an endless thing, but it certainly beats the hell out of working for the man. You know, I mean, working in a club is not nearly as fun as that, but you know, when you have your own business, there's just a lot more to have to do and to figure out and obligations are higher and the pressure's on you. But for me, it was a thrill. It certainly beat the hell out of, you know, tending bar, waiting tables like I had been doing prior.
Kristen, are you there?
I'm back. Yes.
Yay! Knocked out for a little bit. You missed the Billy Idol story, but you'll hear it later.
Yeah, I came into Naked Woman in Billy's kitchen. So I feel like I got in for just the right
just
part.
Just in time. Just in
it
time.
Was, there couldn't have been a better intro. It was great.
That's awesome. Tony, let's talk about your, this is an easy transition away from Naked People to your new workout, 22-minute hardcore workout. You want to tell us a little bit about it and then maybe how much of a role your military family background played in it?
Actually, played a big part. You know, when I was a wee lad, you know, my father was a tank commander in the Army, and we went, you know, from city to city. You know, we started out at Schofield Barracks and at Fort Knox, Kentucky. That's where his training was, and then we ended up in Hawaii, on the Big Island where, you know, he did a lot of big, you know, a lot of maneuvers out there and stuff. And so, you know, that's how it started out. But, you know, I grew up in that era in the 1970s where the draft was no more. And, you know, a lot of kids just chose, they just weren't interested. It was just, you know, it was the 70s. Everybody was protesting Vietnam and whatnot. And so there was most of us just didn't want to sign up. You know, we just, you know, war, what is it good for? Nothing. And so we all felt that way at that time. But, you know, when this lifestyle of mine sort of kicked in, it turned out that there were a lot of men and women in the military around the world who had been, you know, stationed and, all over the place who'd been doing my program and doing P90X, you know. And so my first experience was, you know, my cousin's a lobbyist in DC and he said, hey, look, in Andrews Air Force Base, you know, the colonel at that time, Colonel Stephen Shepro, said when he was in Balad in the Middle East, he had his troops doing it, you know, just to kind of keep their head on straight. And he invited me to Andrews outside of D.C., you know, where the president keeps his plane and Marine and whatnot. So I went out there and I trained, you know, it was a joint base. So I think it was Marines and Army and Navy and Air Force. And I was there, you know, 400 people lined up perfectly straight, you know, on the big stage. And it was such a thrill, you know. So I had a meeting with the Department of Defense and organization there, kind of like the USO called Armed Forces Entertainment. And they said, hey, we'd love to kind of sign you up to see if you'd like to travel the world to work with some of our military. And I jumped at the chance. It was such an honor. I had a yoga retreat in Tuscany, out in Italy. And they said, hey, we got three bases out there, Camp Darby, Aviano, and Vicenza. We'd love you to meet them at the tail end of your yoga retreat. And so I said, geez, let's make this trip even cooler. Awesome. And I just fell in love, man, you know. So it was Andrews the first time. Then I did that first little tour. And now I've been to Japan twice. I've been to Korea. I've been to Germany. I've been to London. I mean, England. I've been, you know, from Kosovo to South Korea. It's just been about 50 bases, both foreign and domestic. It's just such a, you know, and then what happens, ends up talking, you know, you talk to people and say, hey, you know, you're the guy that helped me pass my PT test so I could stay in the military. I mean, I was on
the
end of my options, and your program was the first thing that I ever really wanted to continue to do. And then I smoke my PT test now. And you kind of, you know, you kind of hear what their troubles are and their struggles were. And then I started talking to our CEO and I said, hey, I think it's time, you know, and we finally decided to create something for the general public. You know, there's a lot of people who say they support the military and the troops and blah, 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 but they walk around 100 pounds overweight, you know, drinking Coca-Cola and eating hot dogs. And I said, hey, you know what? Let's all try to create an alliance with our military by actually seeing what it's like to go through a form of a boot camp. 22-Minute Hardcore has been the biggest launch since P90X. It's done better than X2, X3, even 10-Minute Trainer. I mean, nothing's really surpassed P90X yet, but the infomercial comes out at the end of the month. So we will see, you know, the early take on it is it's most people's favorite. And a lot of guys and gals coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq with PTSD are now, you know, not to say they're cured, but they kind of feel like, wow, it feels like it did back in the day. And, you know, anybody who exercises knows that you're releasing norepinephrine, dopamine, all these important things inside of your brain so you can just kind of function better on the planet. And I'm also hearing from a lot of women that their husbands are working out with them in the house for the first time ever, you know.
Cool.
So dozens of stories like that. So we're really excited about this. I just think it's special, and I think the history behind it is special, and we're just really proud, and we can't wait for that infomercial to come out and see, you know, hopefully more and more people will sign up and get busy.
Sounds like a tremendous response. That's fantastic. Now, Tony, you've recently shared a video of your absolutely killer backyard gym on Twitter. It was really cool. And I just wondered if you might want to tell our listeners a little bit about some of the fun toys you've got out there.
Well, you know, I was always a wannabe gymnast. I got a blue ribbon in parallel bars when I was 9 or 10 or something. It was the only, the first place blue ribbon. And prior to that, I had been the worst athlete in the world. I had one thing, you know, and I just had this strong desire to be a better gymnast, you know. I thought maybe this was my thing. And then my father moved again. We moved 6 times before 5th grade. And the new town didn't have any sort of gymnastics programs. So it was like, wah, wah, right? So that was gone. But I always, you know, I was terrible at climbing ropes. I couldn't even get the first peg in the pegboard, you know, back in the day. For some reason, parallel bars was my thing. And so, you know, later on in life, as I became more fit, I realized that, let's not get on the bike for 45 minutes and just do chest today with weights. Let's get back to old school and start using body weights. So I was very fortunate to meet Mitch and Chuck Gaylord. Mitch Gaylord won gold, yeah, bronze, silver in the 84 here in L.A. And I'd become very good friends with his brother, Chuck. Now, Chuck is a 9-time All-American gymnast as well. So I would go down to the beach. I'd do my pull-ups and my push-ups. And Chuck would say, well, how about levers? And how about muscle-ups? And how about climbing the rope upside down? I'd say, how about you're crazy? But he was such a great mentor. I mean, he really showed me how to break it down, you know, which is partly what I do as well. And so I put parallel bars in my backyard, and I put a high bar in the backyard, and I put a, you know, a 17-foot rope and pegboard. And, you know, just with those simple pieces of equipment, there's a lot you can do. And a slack line. I have a slack line back there, too, which is, you know, really important because balance is one of these things that we just ignore completely. I mean, you might be able to be in tree or whatever in a yoga class, but to actually, you know, do some high wire walking on a two-inch piece of webbing is I think, a vital piece of just staying young. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. I'm going to be 60 in 2 years. What happened? And
they just keep coming, right? Those birthdays.
I keep knocking them back, you know. I mean,
me too, dude.
and this is the thing. Like, if there's any one message to anybody who's listening to us, it's that, you know, the transition sucks. It just does. And learning new things, you know, is hard for people after high school and college. But if you're willing to sort of get outside of your comfort zone and understand the importance and the value of that, and if you're willing to try and get, you know, like it took me 3 weeks to be able to stand on my slack line for 5 seconds. You know, I mean, most people, that learning curve is way too long for way too many people. But I thought, well, I'm, you know, look, I can do other things. This is an area where I stink in, and I understand the learning process. And so let's dig down and figure it out. And with it, with every attempt just comes this turning back of the clock, you know, and why not, you know, try to do those kinds of things. And my little group of workout buddies that gets back there and does that with me is very finite. You know, people come and people go because they get frustrated with the fact that they can't climb halfway up the rope, even with their legs. And they think, well, maybe, you know, I said, stop saying I can't and keep coming back. You know, I mean, you know, that's all it requires. I mean, look, this is a kid with 2 left feet, 98-pound weakling with a speech impediment who had the pain threshold of a kitten, you know, and stuff just keeps coming out. I don't know what I'm saying half the time.
Badass.
That's just fun. Well, that's having done improv comedy for years, you know, it's just like on your feet. But I mean, it's a way for me to describe the process. And if you're afraid of the process, then you're never going to grow young. You're just going to continue to grow old at the same rate as everybody else. And my job is to try to transcend the philosophy that says, no, man, you can feel young, you can act young, but you have to go through the process. And the process takes, you know, for some people a couple of months, for some it takes a year. I mean, how long are you willing to work at it? I mean, it's all about prioritizing. And it's all about surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Everybody, I'm the oldest guy in my crew. There's not a single, actually, yeah, even Chuck is a year and 2 months younger than I am. So the 9-time All-American. But so that's what, you know, you are the company you keep, right? So, yeah. You know, hang out with badasses and you'll become a badass.
I'm totally with you there. That's why I like to hang out with these gals, because they're badasses and they inspire me to, you know, work harder and strive and achieve.
Damn Skippy.
Damn skipping.
What?
So Tony, you did appear in the first original Fimaster commercials, correct?
Oh,
or you were part. We're going the Wayback Machine again. I'm the one that's sending you back in the Wayback Machine. But those are really incredible infomercials. They were very successful. And so now you use those to sell, you know, your programs. And I just wanted to know, like, what brought about this entrepreneurial spirit in you to just create your own business on your own and do it this way?
Well, I think a lot of people are confused with think that is my business. I mean, Carl Deichler is the CEO of Beachbody. He's sort of a master mm-hmm. of all of it. But for me, it was just timing. I mean, you know, what is luck? Luck is opportunity meets readiness. There were a lot of opportunities that came my way earlier in my career, but I just wasn't ready. I didn't have the chops. I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have the onstage presence. I didn't have the persona. I didn't have the level of creativity that required for me to be able to really, you know, knock it out of the park. But I was at that point in my career, having trained a bunch of celebrities and having to kind of create different kinds of programs for Billy or Idol or Tom Petty or whoever. And I had enough stagecraft, enough time in front of a camera, in front of an audience as a comic, that those two things came together at just the right time when Carl knocked on my door and said, hey, you know, and I had trained Carl for a while. Carl was just an employee of another infomercial company. You know, he wasn't a big wig at all at that stage. He was, you know, living in a van down by the river right next to me, you know. And so, but
and Chris Farley.
And Chris, the three of us just fishing. and so he knocked, you know, he said, hey, let's give this thing a try. And I got up there. I don't think I was great yet. Not certainly, but I was good enough so that we could sell enough so that investors would go, hey, man, you guys tapped into an area that's very hard. I mean, the infomercial industry is brutal because everybody that's got an idea who gets at least to that first point where they're trying to sell something on TV, that, you know, 95 of them will fail. Next week, they're gone. And we just, you know, we kept plugging along. And then, you know, Great Body Guaranteed was the first thing that we did. And then we did Power 90, you know, before. This is back when, you know, there was no internet or no mobile phones. And this is when everything was on half-inch VHS. This is when, you know, to drive your car like Fred Flintstone. I mean, it was way back when. And then this Power 90, I mean, you know, I lived in the same apartment for 21 years with a view of the convalescent home. And I just thought, well, you know, if I keep going, all I have to do is cross the alley and there I'm back to my new home at the convalescent home. But then these checks started coming in the mail and we did something serious and we sold several million copies of those. So I got to move out of that apartment and have a completely different lifestyle and start, you know, this is when, you know, I was doing public speaking events, which I, you know, I had no training in that, but I would just tell people the truth and told them what worked. And if you look at the big picture, the 11 laws that'll change your life, that book spawned from 11 things that I needed to do so that I could continue to grow as a person and become a better man and become a better trainer, become a, you know, financially responsible and those types of things. And so, and, you know, here it is so many years later, and it's a pretty popular book. So it's been a fun ride, you know, and a lot of it comes from personal development. I mean, Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, Andrew Weil, Richard Carlson. I mean, my shelves are filled with these books that basically said, hey, man, you can do this thing, but here are the steps. And a lot of it was financial, spiritual, relationship, career, you know, all that stuff. But and we don't learn that in high school. It's kind of too bad. I would assume that every high school across this country, or at least in college, there should be some serious personal development stuff. But I learned it afterward. And so afterward is the reason why I'm where I am.
That's amazing. I think I'm going to ask our last full question, and then I think Margo's going to do our special question that we ask everyone. My final question is, we always talk, we've had, you know, you're actually only our second male, I think, we've had on the podcast so far. We've talked to a lot of females. And it's funny because we always talk about body image with them. And I would love to just, you talked about, you know, being 58, getting older. Do you have any tips for improving body image, or do you have experience with like negative versus positive body image? I would love like a male's perspective on body image.
Such a good question. Go.
Oh my. You know, a lot of people, I've been asked a version of this question before, and I don't think a lot of people like my answer. And I always say that if you truly want to be happy and successful and you want to continue this health and fitness lifestyle, then you might want to let go of the body image stuff, which isn't easy. It's not easy for both men and women. I understand that, you know, people want to look good. It's all, you know, we live in a society where that's a very important aspect of our lives. But let's say, for example, that, you know, we didn't have egos and we didn't have mirrors and we didn't have tape measures or scales, but the best way to determine who we were people were our level of productivity, our health, our sense of adventure, our willingness to try difficult physical things without feeling embarrassed. Like, what if all those things were a greater priority? If you can actually put yourself in that headspace for just a little bit, then man, it takes the pressure off. You know what I mean?
Totally.
For me, I think it's really about percentages, and I think it changes as we get older. I think body image is super important for young single people. It is because we're trying to attract other folks in our lives. You know, whether it's a relationship or just friendships, you know, so, but I think as you get older, maybe naturally for most people that sort of dissipates just a little bit, and it really becomes about functionality. It's like, can I go through my day without pain and discomfort? That really becomes, you know, especially as you get older and older, that's where I live. That's why yoga and balance and learning how to let the pendulum swing in the opposite direction once in a while, just learning how to chill and relax and meditate and breathe and sit quietly and read and turn off, you know, your laptop, computer, and TV putting energy in those kinds of spaces. Because ultimately the $64,000 question is, do you want to be happy? And happiness is like the number one thing, you know, and happiness in every area of your life. And so that sometimes does not come from focusing on body image so much.
Totally. Comes on focus. Yeah. So almost, in effect, getting a better body image means, this is kind of what we preach in Fit Bottom Girls too, is just focusing on other things other than your body. Like how you feel.
It comes down to well-being. It just comes down from feeling really good in your own skin. And you know, when you exercise every day and when you eat well every day, there's chemical changes that allow your brain to just sort of feel good about the way things are going. But when you're not eating well and you're inconsistent that way and you're inconsistent with your fitness, then you end up with like a form of fitness and health bipolar disorder, you know? And so, you know, you're good at, the more you do, the better you get. I mean, you know, I say that all the time, do your best, forget the rest. You know, it's the first chapter of my book. And that's just basically saying, you know, show up, write a list of things that you need to do today. And if you don't get them all done, at least attempt to sort of, you know, schedule your workouts, make healthy, you know, food decisions 80 to 90% of the time, and everything else will fall into place. You know, you might not look like, you know, a 20-year-old supermodel, but you're sure as hell going to feel pretty awesome, and you're going to be better than most folks, and you're going to have the energy and enthusiasm to live large in your life. And that's, I think, really where the mojo hits the road.
I totally agree with you. It's way more important. I mean, really, it's like having that attitude, it just really carries through everything about you and what you do and how you present yourself to people, and you'll feel better about yourself. It's just, I totally, totally agree. So I'm going to ask you the last question. I think Kristen was dropped. But so the internet gods are spiting us and smiting us right now. So, Tony, my last question for you, we ask this for everybody. What was the last song you listened to before you did this podcast?
Ramblin' On, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Ramblin' On, Led Zeppelin's the last song I listen to every time I do anything. I mean, I don't know. That's just one of my top five songs, you know.
I love Zeppelin. So, yeah, I totally, that's a great choice.
Yeah, this comes from a guy who's, you know, born in the 50s. So, yeah. No, I'm sorry. It was Justin Bieber.
Right, right, right. And Justin Bieber, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't name a song that he ever did.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. We really appreciate it. You were amazing. And is there just any last words you want to give our audience before we let you go?
Well, you know, if people want to find me, where I'm going, what I'm doing, what I'm up to, you want to go to TonyHortonLife.com. I think that's my one plug of the day. I've got a brand new hair and skin line called TH Care. And our reviews are off the chain. I mean, even better than I expected. People just really seem to love these two products. You know, one's just a hair and body wash. The other one's for face and body lotion. And it's unisex. And it just, it's great stuff. Also, I have retreats all over the country, public speaking events. So go to TonyHortonLife.com. And you will find where I am, what I'm doing, where I'm going.
Excellent. So thank you so much once again, Tony. And I can't wait to try out this program. I'm really psyched for it now.
You'll dig it. It's fun. I mean, there's water bugs and gorilla crawls and bear crawls. And it's just, it's like being out in nature. It's amazing.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Tony.
Thanks, ladies.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and a review. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book Versus Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.